and the blessed are the peacemakers. But the rest of them are great, God. And then Chris emailed me, blessed are the peacemakers. So I'm going to be looking at blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And I don't know why. Well, I didn't know why this was my least favourite to start with. So I'm just going to move that a little bit. But actually, I think as I looked at it, I realised that a lot of the other Beatitudes that we look at in this section mention things that we find ourselves in life on a daily situation. Not all the time, but we find ourselves in these situations. We've got blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, it's a lovely day, but I'm going to strive to be mournful today. It's something that we find ourselves in these situations, and we deal with them in the way God wants us to deal with them. And if you've not looked over any of the other Beatitudes that have been brought to us over the Sunday evenings, then I would really encourage you to look over them. But I really felt, I think, that being a peacemaker takes action. We actually have to do something. We have to be more proactive. Occasionally in life, we'll find ourselves in the middle of a situation where we have to mediate. But more often than not, I do believe that we have to make a conscious decision to step up and step into difficult situations. Now, I don't know about you, but I absolutely hate conflict. I am one of these people that I'm going to mention later on in the service, but I'm one of these people that would kind of think, oh, I don't want to know, and I would walk away. Because I think two reasons. One, I don't want people to think that I'm meddling in their business, but also I don't want to get hurt. And in looking at this, I do think that when you're a peacemaker, you do have to get involved in people's lives. And I think very often there is a cost attached to being a peacemaker. But I'd like to really look at what a peacemaker actually is. And I Googled it. I thought that would be a really good way to see what the internet says a peacemaker actually is. And the first thing that I was drawn to, or I saw, was that in 1873, Samuel Colt introduced a pistol that was named the peacemaker. Because of its simple design, and it used shell cartridges as opposed to the old style of loaders, and he actually said that a strong man could no longer overpower a smaller, weaker man. What formerly depended on strength now depended on speed and accuracy. That's a peacemaker for you. Similarly, in November 1982, the President of the United States of America named a new MX missile the peacemaker. It was modern, it was high-tech, and it would deter foreign aggression. But it was really interesting to see that the word peacemaker so often on the internet went alongside war. I asked a few people leading up to tonight to just clear their minds, and then I said, I'm going to say a word, and I want you to tell me the first word that comes into your mind. So I didn't tell them what it was about, because otherwise it would give it away, but they cleared their minds, and I said either peace or peacemaker, and I got a variety of different answers. And again, a lot of them were found on the internet, illustrations of weapons. There were soldiers. When you think of peace, you think of soldiers. Peacekeeping organizations, usually armed in some of the more difficult countries. Then we get onto the fluffy peacemakers. You've got your hippies and your doves. And then you've got some verses of scripture about blessed are the peacemakers. And then Jesus at the end. It was quite far down the list. But the Collins English Dictionary defines peacekeepers as being an organization, country, or person when they try to persuade countries or people to stop fighting or quarrelling. Not the best description in the world, really, I think, when it comes to defining what a peacemaker is. But when I thought of peacemaking or peacemakers, two very different pictures came to me. The first one was Jesus, the ultimate example of peace. who we'll be looking at later on in the sermon this evening. The second picture that I saw was war, and that disappointed me a little bit. I thought, you know, what do I think about when I think of peace? And when war came to mind, it was quite a sad thing to realise that that was one of the first things that came to my mind. But when we pray for peace in the world, when we stand up here and pray for peace, we're praying that wars and disputes stop. And if we didn't have wars and disputes and disagreements and stuff, then we wouldn't actually need peacemakers. It's sad, but we actually live in a broken, hurting world. We just need to switch on our televisions or listen to the radio, and we see conflict happening all over the world. And this conflict's not a new thing. We just need to look up the Bible, and we see conflict, disagreements, and disputes at every turn. Start off at the beginning of the Bible, we've got Adam and Eve. And one of the first things they did, they broke their relationship with their Heavenly Father, their Creator. They disobeyed their Father's instructions, and that relationship became broken and damaged. That peace that was there in that relationship was destroyed. We then move a little bit further on. We've got Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel because he was jealous with his brother, that his brother's offering was better than his own. Jumping a little bit further, we've got Joseph with his brothers. The brothers were jealous of Joseph, sold him off to slavery. It ended up okay, but at the time, it was, again, dispute, discord within families. Again, we just need to look at the Old Testament, and we see nation turning against nation, tribe turning against tribe. And wars and discord are evident, from families and siblings to communities that are split and torn apart to nations standing against nation. And if we look at the world today, we see the same. We see nation standing against nation. We see hatred within communities. We see gangs that are turning against one another. We look at the issues that have been happening more up in London, and we see that there's knife attacks, there's guns that are being used against one another. Innocent blood is being shed. We look at the community that we live in, and families are torn apart. People are living in broken relationships. I know when I lived back in Cardiff, I would see loads and loads of young people on a Friday night or midweek, but when it came to Sunday morning, I couldn't understand why they wouldn't come to church. They still would love to come to church, but Sunday's the day that we spend with my dad. And there's that brokenness, and there's hurting. But how can we be peacemakers in the situations in the world? How can we bring peace to the nations? I saw a sign recently, and I can't remember for the life of me where I saw the sign, but it just made me chuckle. It was a DIY store, and they sold everything that you could possibly imagine. Not that I ever buy DIY stuff at all. I wouldn't know a screwdriver from a hammer. In fact, actually, I've used a screwdriver as a hammer. But I saw this DIY store, and it says, "We can fix anything." And then at the side of the door, there's a little note that says, "Please knock, doorbell broken." And I was reminded of this when I was writing the sermon today and praying about it. And it made me really think, you know, God is a powerful God, and we can fix nations that are turning against nations with God's power. It's not us that's doing it, it's God that's doing it. And if God wants that to happen and he wants us to be his hands and feet, then that'll happen. But actually, sometimes the things that need fixed are the things that are closest to home. They're the things that are most neglected, like the doorbell of this shop. They can fix anything, but they just couldn't fix their own doorbell. And I believe, like the doorbell, it's true when it comes to bringing peace into a situation or being a peacemaker. God wants us to start where we are at. But how can we be peacemakers? What are we meant to do? What examples can we draw from to bring that peace into a situation? And I think the only real, true example that we can draw from, if we really want to be peacemakers, is Jesus. The Beatitude says that peacemakers will be called the children of God. Jesus was God's own son. He was his child. The Lord God in human form that came down to this world, who lived and died for each and every one of us. So if we're to earn the right to be called children of God, we need to learn from the one and the only one that can really teach us by example, and that's Jesus. Now, I'm not sure how many people here remember a few years back, quite a few years back, I'm showing my age now, there was all the kind of bracelets that people would wear and the t-shirts and the hats and stuff, and it would say WWJD. Do you remember that? Yeah, most of you do. What would Jesus do? And I think it was a great thing. What would Jesus do if you get into a situation? What would Jesus do in this situation? But what I'd like to look at today is WDJD. What did Jesus do? If we're going to learn from Jesus, let's look at what he actually did. And the first thing that Jesus did, being a peacemaker, he was born. He came into this world to restore the relationship between man and God. He came into this world to give himself as an offering for our sins. And we're going to be acknowledging that sacrifice a little bit later as we come to the Lord's table in communion. Jesus laid down his life that we could be free and that we can live with a real peace and a knowledge that one day we would spend eternity with our Father in heaven. Don't know about you, but I'm excited about that peace and that knowledge. And whatever we deal with, Kay mentioned it earlier, whatever we deal with, the baggage that we have on a day-to-day basis, we can leave that at the door and we can have a peace that God is there for us. He loves us, he cares for us, and he wants us to just turn to him. I know I've struggled in the last few weeks with ill health, and I've found that only the peace can help me, the peace of God can help me through these situations. Another example of Jesus's that I was drawn to when I was preparing for today was the situation of the woman caught in adultery. The religious leaders here, I believe, were trying to catch Jesus out. If Jesus sided with the woman, telling the men not to stone her, then he would be going against the laws of the land, the laws of the Bible. This woman had committed adultery. Her punishment was to be stoned. These men were ready to do what the law said they needed to do. But then if Jesus sided with the men, then where was the forgiveness, the love, the compassion, the peace that he stood for? It would have been so easy for Jesus to say to these guys, actually, it's not my problem. You've caught her. You deal with her how you want to deal with her. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus stood there and he drew something in the sand. And I believe that as he was drawn in the sand, he was given the situation to God. And he said these simple words, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And at this, one by one, the men left, dropped their stones and walked away. Now, Jesus didn't choose to be in the middle of this situation. He was dragged into this situation and he got involved despite the possible consequences of getting involved in this situation. And the third example from Jesus' ministry comes when he saw the people at the temple selling stuff and making money, using religion for their own personal gain. In this instance, Jesus didn't find himself in the situation. He wasn't invited to come into this situation, but instead, he just got involved. The righteous anger welled up inside him. He saw something that was wrong, and he stepped in, and he turned over the tables in the temple. Now, that's just three examples of Jesus making peace or bringing peace to a situation. And I think if we were to look at all the examples of Jesus, then we would be here for at least a week. But looking at them, the first one was something that he was born into. It was his destiny. It was his life. The second one, he was asked to get involved in the situation. And the third, he saw what was going on and he stepped in uninvited. But in each case here, action was required. Now, in looking at the word peace and peacemakers, we look at the word, the Hebrew word for peace, it's shalom. And we see that it's more than just a word like a greeting. I know that when Jewish people meet together, they'll say shalom aleichem, and that's greeting one another. But it's more than just a kind of hello, peace be with you, you know, have a good day type thing. Shalom is taken from the root word shalom, which means to be safe in mind, body, or estate. And that word, shalom, speaks of completeness and fullness. And it's a type of wholeness that when we have that wholeness in our life, it should encourage us to give something back. We should be so filled with that peace that we want to give something back. So if we have that shalom, we should want to share it. So what does that mean for us here today? Well, I think it means that we can be one of three types of people in our life. We can be peacemakers. We can step up and step into situations, sometimes at a cost to ourselves. We can be troublemakers, people who are intent on bringing discord, anger, and vengeance into a situation. Or we have the third type of people, which I like to call peace fakers. And that's the people that see a situation and do nothing. They stand back and they say, oh, I don't want to get involved in this dispute. Oh, I'm not saying anything. And they'll sometimes come out with this phrase that I love. Oh, I'm not saying anything. I'm just going to keep the peace. Or they just walk away. And I think most of us will have found ourselves in that situation at some point in our lives. I know I have. And in preparing this today, I didn't realize how much I found myself in that situation because I don't like conflict. But God wants us to be peacemakers and to get involved despite the consequences that we might face, despite the hurt that we might have in our lives. But how can we actually do this? Well, we've looked at Jesus' example. And we saw that the first thing he did was to come into this relationship and to bring come into this world and give us that proper relationship with our Father in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I know people who don't have that peace in their life. I know people who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's funny that Kay shared what she shared today about her grandmother, because my mum prayed for my Aunt Shari, and I've spoken to my Aunt Shari. She's okay for me to say this. But my mum and us as family prayed for my Aunt Shari for 40 years. Morning and evening, without fail. Whether we were on holiday, whether we were running late for school, we would pray in the car for her because she didn't know Jesus in her life. And it was only around the time of my mum's death that she actually became a Christian. And not long after that, she was diagnosed with bone cancer and she was given 3 years to live. Now that's, we're looking near on 10 years that she's been alive, which is amazing. And bless, I used to always talk over my sort of sermons, my ideas with my mum, but my aunt's been that close to me that I go over and I chat to her. And I was chatting to her about this. And she told me that the medication that she's on now for her bone cancer has stopped working. And it might start to work again, it might not, but she's now got cancer down both sides of her spine, in her hip, in her thigh bone, in her shoulder. But she's still smiling. And she said to me, you know, I don't know how I could have coped with this diagnosis if I hadn't had Jesus in my life. If I didn't, she said, I have got a peace that I cannot put into words. She said, I know where I'm going. She said, if I die tomorrow or I die in 10 years' time, I know where I'm going because God has given me that promise and that peace. And there are people out there in this world who are not in that right relationship with God that need to find God, that need to have that peace. And we can be peacemakers. We can bring that peace into their lives. The second example that I shared with you about Jesus was where he was asked to help in a situation. And as a street pastor, I would be really remiss if I didn't bring in an example from a Friday night. I'm sure any street pastors that are here know that on a regular basis, we seem to be peacemakers, whether it's fights or arguments or disputes. But one that really came to mind for me was a few years back, a homeless guy that we met when we were on the streets, and we helped him with food, we helped him with shelter, just some bags and a sleeping bag and some blankets and stuff. But as we went out and we worked with him more and more and more and more, we built up a relationship with him. And once we built up that relationship with him, he started to ask us more and more questions. And in his situation, because he had an alcohol problem, he was thrown out of the family, and his dad had told his sister that he was dead, that he had died because of his alcohol. He wasn't around anymore. And the sister believed her father, that her brother was dead. And he said, and I don't have that relationship with my sister. And we prayed, and I'll cut a long story short, but we prayed with him, we talked to him for about 6 months, and then he disappeared. And we were really worried about him. We didn't know where he was, we didn't know what was happening. And I remember getting a phone call from Steve Smallwood saying, you need to get down to the church, that somebody needs to see you. And I walked into the church, into Wells Play Centre, and I walked past the receptionist, and I noticed that there was a guy and a girl and a young lad sitting at a table having a coffee. And I walked straight past them, and I found Steve, and he went, did you see him? I said, who? And I walked back out, and he looked a completely different person. He looked 20 years younger. He'd hitched all the way to London, then all the way up to Birmingham, and arrived on his sister's doorstep. She nearly passed out with the shock that her brother was still alive. He got the help that he needed, and he made peace with his family. He stopped drinking. He became a Christian, and he'd actually come back down to say thank you to the street pastors that had been there. Now, we were invited into this guy's life, and I'm sure there's people out there on a day-to-day basis that ask you questions. My sister had it yesterday with one of her in-laws. They stood and debated for about 20 minutes, half an hour, about religion because somebody asked them to get involved. And when somebody asks you to get involved, it can be so easy to turn around and go, oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, and leave it at that. But God wants us to stand up and say, this is what I believe in. This is why I have a hope. This is why I have a peace in my life. And the third and last example that we looked at with Jesus was he saw injustice in the world, and he stood up and he took action against that injustice. We've got Hope 18 coming up. We have got a chance to get involved, to bring peace into people's lives, to spend time with those that are isolated and separated from communities. The silver, I nearly said golden stream, the silver stream with the cream tea, we can get alongside people and make a difference. We support compassion in this church, and it was amazing a few months ago to see all the children on that board out in the hallway where we could see lives that are being changed, peace that is being brought into these children's lives. There are so many other different ways that we can help, whether it's through organisations within the church or the community, whether it's signing a petition in the world to stop injustice, and we can bring peace into these situations. We can be the hands and feet of God and bring peace to a broken, hurting world. In following Jesus, the ultimate child of God's example, we too can have a promise that we will be called children of God. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you that when we think of peace, we think of you. Lord, so many times in life we see unrest, we see issues, but Lord, we know that you are the peace giver. Lord, help us to learn from your example and be peacemakers to bring peace into the lives of those we meet, to share your love. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet in everything that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.